And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, September 15th, 2024. We welcome you out there and we thank you for being here this morning. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for the times that we're living in. And we just ask that you just continue to guide us, direct us, give us more of your Holy Spirit. Your word says that if we ask for it, that you'll give it to us. And we do ask for it. And we ask that you strengthen us and that you encourage us, that you be with us, that you guide us and direct us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to start off with a song. First song is He Turned the Water into Wine.
He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. He turned the water into wine. In that little Canaan town, the word went all around. He turned the water into wine. Well, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Upon the Sea of Galilee, shouted far and wide, he calmed the raging tide, and he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water into wine.
In my Lord now.
He turned the water.
Amen. I like that song. We haven't done that one in a while. Well, before we get started, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. I put together a video that I'm going to share, and it was just basically a compilation of things that have happened throughout the last week and a half. And I think it's good. I think I got all the bad words edited out of it. Richard was up here for scriptural review of the news, after that, I got a message from a brother up in Canada, and he sent me this scripture, and I thought, it's like, wow, I gotta read this. But we were talking about the invasion that we see happening, and it's basically, we've been talking a lot about it because it's real, and it's real life, and it's affecting a lot of people. But the scripture that he sent me, and I'm going to start off with this, is in Joel. It's Joel 2, and I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. And it says, then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust and the stripping locust and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God. And I thought that was a really good scripture to share. And as what he pointed out is, he said all those years of the locust and the devouring locust being here is that the Lord's going to give it back to us. And I thought that was a really good thought and wanted to share that with you. But I got a video here, and it starts off with the first just few seconds is the family that lost their 11-year-old son to an illegal Haitian in a car accident. And, you know, they've been coming out and saying, you know, that they wish it was a 60-year-old white man that had done it. And I just want you to hear it from the horse's mouth, because it shows the delusion that's in the land. And basically, I think that there's just, it shows the spell casting and, you know, where people's minds are. But we'll go ahead and have that video.
I wish that my son, Aiden Clark, was killed by a 60-year-old white man. And I bet you never thought anyone would ever say something so blunt. But if that guy killed my 11-year-old son, the incessant group of hate-spewing people would leave us alone.
Why do you have blood? Why do you
want to catch you?
Let me have the bird.
But yeah.
I have the bird.
You gotta be tickled.
I know how to hold the bird. Let go of the bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you want to show the?
No. The bird is not your bird.
Where are you from?
Guinea.
Where are you going, sir?
I'm going to New York.
Thank you, sir. You?
Thank you.
Where are you going?
Thank you.
Where are you going?
Thank you.
What state are you going to?
I'm going to Senegal.
And you?
Senegal.
Are you going to New York?
No.
Where are you going?
New York.
You? You?
Louisville.
Louisville, you?
Yeah.
New York, you?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
New York, you?
Yeah.
New York?
I was out and about yesterday, driving around Springfield. I was looking at the giant holes in some of our buildings. I noticed all of the old familiar spots bearing new signs in an unfamiliar language. I watched as groups of strangers walked around the city like lost tourists, and it was like a punch in the gut. A terrible sadness came over me, and I began to cry. I immediately started to think back to when I was little, walking from my grandma's house on South Fountain through downtown and all the way to Snyder Park, going to Wren's to get new school clothes and shoes, the excitement of the mall for lunch at the Blue Fox, or even better, to see Santa, riding down High Street, admiring the beauty of those stately homes and their amazing architecture, dropping pennies in the fountain and making wishes. And now, all those warm memories are becoming fuel to the fire of anger inside of me. I feel like we have been invaded by some sort of pest.
Where their point of origin? Because you're treating them like lawful U.S. citizens, which they are not.
Okay, so I'm going to cut it off because we have no reason, to launch an investigation or to treat people differently because of how they look. There's no reason for
it. Who said that?
Well, that's just what I'm saying. I just said that. Tiffany just said that.
Okay,
so
I didn't say that.
But I said, but there's no reason for us to discuss this any further.
These individuals came from Haiti.
Are valid concerns that we need
to have. How are valid concerns, Laura? People come here all the time. We
These
visit
people
Birmingham.
Came here from
we
Haiti.
Visit
Haiti
other...
is a failed state.
We
Their president
everywhere.
Was assassinated in 2021. There is no way the State Department can vet these
We're
individuals.
We're done. I'm going to ask
him. Please let him talk.
You should. I was very specific. Okay, I'm going to ask all of you to leave.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitian migrants, 55,000. And then more recently, we extended temporary protected status to over 100,000 Haitian migrants for that very reason, that they need support, they need protection.
This is where we're living.
In this tent lives 77-year-old Judy Howe with her 80-year-old partner, George, a situation she never imagined to be in. She says they had an apartment in Halifax before the building was sold and to be torn down. After that, they went to Ontario to be with George's dying mother, but they couldn't afford to stay there and chose to return to Halifax.
It's not home. You know, it's not a place you can cook a meal for yourself. You can take a shower. We go up to the Y on Park Street here. I always get lost trying to find my way out. And that's where we shower at. And you can go there every day if you want, you know. And thank God they have that service. But it's not where I want to be. I go to bed crying at night.
A gas station convenience store worker is facing attempted murder and battery charges after allegedly getting into a fight with a customer over nacho cheese. This is Myron Bully, and the fight took place early last Tuesday morning at an Arco on Rainbow and Russell. He told police that a customer wanted nacho cheese but allegedly broke the dispenser. That victim didn't want to leave, so he allegedly pushed him out before hitting the victim with a bat several times. That victim suffered several injuries to the head and the brain.
I run out my room, my room right there. I'm like, yo, somebody's trying to come through my window. So my mom immediately acted on it.
He was like hanging on her window. So I just told him, like, I have a gun, you know, I'm going to shoot. And he just didn't stop. So I fired a warning shot. I didn't even know that he got hit.
That's until police arrived on East 69th near Oglesby, where they found the 36-year-old suspect shot in the leg. He was taken to the hospital in fair condition. His life spared, but now armed with what the family hopes is a hard-learned lesson.
Next time you think about coming through somebody's window, you just remember how that bullet felt.
The mother is now hoping to move soon, especially since she says police confiscated her gun. Tonight, charges are pending against the suspect.
Come on. Come on.
One more time.
Damien. Why would you... See, there's nothing I can do. This is crazy, but because... And you just shake the spot once again.
You can tug away or whatever. Wrap it around. And once you wrap around, you punch. Do you hear? She ain't going nowhere. You're 8, you're still allowed to grab hair and stuff because it ain't fair anyway.
This business about taking everyone's guns away, Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
I support buybacks. It's something I'm so passionate about and so looking forward to being president to address. We've got to deal with this.
How mandatory is your gun buyback program?
It's mandatory.
And I wanted to put that together and play that for you today. We're going to go a little bit long today, but that's okay. Yesterday, after getting off the radio with Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, I got a message that says I was an insensitive white man full of hate. And, you know, I thought about it, and it's like, okay, I think that they were trying to offend me and hoping that they were going to get a rise out of me. Insensitive to liberal tears, maybe, and full of hate. If you watch that video and you don't have a hatred for what is happening, I mean, you see the invading army of black Haitians. You see what they're doing. They see that they're shutting everybody down that's trying to speak out at city council meetings. You know, basically, it's all around us. And, you know, you've heard it, and you're going to hear it, continue to hear it. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. I believe that, you know, that there is, it takes a remnant, and a remnant turning back to God, and that's what is going to save us. But you can see them and how the enemy continues to lie, and they lie, steal, kill, destroy. And wanted to read another scripture. The other scripture that I wanted to go to this morning is in Obadiah 1:15 and 19. starting with verse 15, it says, the day of the Lord in the future. For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. Jesus, you have done it. It will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head, because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow, and because as if they had never existed. Continuing on in verse 17, but on Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be as stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor in the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. Then those of the Negev will possess the mountain of Esau. Praise the Lord for that. And that's what, you know, we want to continue to do. We want to be that fire. We want to be that flame. We want that stubble to be burned up. And that is the enemy that's behind the scenes that we're continuing to fight with in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And with that said, we're going to go to Brother Zach with a message coming up right about now.
And greetings to the once lost and now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, Sunday, September 15th, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome you all out there this morning here. We're glad that you're able to join us. We hope that you invited somebody to church. And with that being said, I am going to get started by identifying who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word. He is the Word that became flesh. And if you do not know your Word, and you are one of those, like so many people out there, that choose to take somebody else's word for it about what the Word says, then you could very potentially be in a situation and be completely oblivious to it. So we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ, we stick here to the Bible. We do not deviate to the best of our ability. And we try to present the Word unadulterated to the best that we can. And I'm not saying that maybe sometimes that our own thoughts don't influence what comes out of our mouth. But when you know the Word and you know the box that God put you in, then you're generally pretty accurate. So what I mean by that is that you take your point of view from the Bible's point of view. That is how you live your life, whether it be doing business, going to church, political, witnessing to somebody about Jesus, whatever it may be. If you take the Bible point of view and you know your Bible well, then you can rest assured that you can be a good and faithful student. Or, yeah, you know what I mean. Servant. Excuse me. So this week, I've actually been with you in the last couple of weeks. I was on duty last weekend with the department running calls. And the week before, I was up north. So I believe the last time that I spoke with you was on the 501c3 churches, which I would not mind getting back on that later, but this week I have a summer cold that just I can't seem to shake, and I got the worst case of poison ivy that I've had in years from some tree removal that I had to do for the Department of Transportation last week. So I'm actually quite miserable. I don't know how else to put it. That being said, we are going to read a chapter into Ezekiel, and it is about false prophets. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we try to project the Word of God as unadulterated as possible. We try to present God's opinion to the best of our ability. And why do we do that? Because we know the Word. We know the history. We know his law. We know why Jesus came back and hung on that cross to buy those 10 northern tribes back. Because those are the ones that received the writ of divorce. And you won't hear that in the church, most churches out in this land. There's probably a few of them that know that. I don't know who any of them are personally anymore, but the fact that the presentation of the word is God loves everybody. The house of Israel and the house of Judah jumping in on that point of view is called Judeo-Christianity. And in my opinion, it is 100% the reason why the world is in the state that it is in. It is because nobody really understands the word. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? And the answer is, I don't really think there's going to be a lot of it because not that many people, and what I mean by that is true faith, not that many people actually know the word of God in the history. And you can tell a lot of these people the history, but in their minds it's irrelevant. You can tell a lot of people that God's political system is still in effect, and it's irrelevant in their mind. You can tell them and point out all, which in my opinion, the greatest miracle is all the curses that the Bible says that will be on the house of Israel for disobeying his law is literally staring the world, his people in the face, and they're oblivious to it. Well, why is that? It is because those people think that the Old Testament and the law is done away with. It doesn't have its potency. Yeah, they'll tell you it's good to know, and it's good to, you know, it's good to practice those, you know, those suggestions, they'll say, by the law. But that is what the definition of sin is, a violation of that law. And when you don't execute judgment and what the law says and how the law says to execute judgment, that also, in my opinion, is sin. So you have a bunch of people that accept Jesus. They don't die to him like we do. You end up with a big political, religious mess that we have in this country and in this world today. And it's all because the word of God is being inaccurately portrayed. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 13. And I'm just going to, I'm going to start in chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 20. Now, this is Ezekiel's talking to the house of Israel and Israelites, and this is for Israelites. So it's very specific on who he's talking to. Like, sometimes he'll talk about the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all that stuff. But when you read your Bible, you'll notice God's actually very specific about who he's talking to and who's going to get what and why they're going to get thumped and why they're going to be blessed. And he's very specific about it. But right here where we pick up, God's talking to Israel. Verse 20. The inhabited cities will be laid waste and the land will be in desolation. So you will know that I'm the Lord. Why is that? It is because of the violation of God's law and a reintroduction of a different political system, which is the Baals, the Babylonian system, all these other gods that Israel lusted after and chased after. That is why, that is the reasoning for the land being laid waste and the cities being leveled. It is because of disobedience. It's not keeping their king, which is God. When the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel saying, the days are long and every vision fail? It's a question. Therefore, they say to them, thus says the Lord. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. But tell them, the days draw near as well as the fulfillment of every vision. What is the vision? So, like, when God talks to his prophets, he's warning them is what he's doing. And the first part is like, well, you know, the days are long and the visions don't come true. It's because people don't believe that their actions are going to cause the destruction. The problem is it's one or two generations down the road. So they never actually get to experience it. That's why there's the lack of belief. Now, we can look back 2020, say, from, say, the year 1900 till now, and see the loosening of morals and the rejection of God in our schools and, you know, the complete not paying attention to public law 97-280, the removal of God from our political system. We can see the effect if you have eyes to see and know why the politicians take the stance that they do. It's because their job is to deal out judgment, debt, immigration. That's just insane. What did Trump said last week? Immigrants eating pets. People's pets and all. I mean, I don't know. Personally, I think it's nonsense. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But you get the point. The reason is because their actions has not satisfied and put God in his proper place, which is the head. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the body. The body's here on earth. I continue. Therefore, say to the... Okay, where am I? Verse 24. For there will no longer be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Israelites love divination. They love their witchcraft. They love the magic. See, like, when I read stuff like that, now this is just my opinion. They like to... When Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees, they always wanted a miracle. The people wanted a miracle, an instant miracle. They just love their divination. I mean, they want it. They want proof instantly. Meanwhile, they're completely oblivious to the sins of their forefathers and the punishment dealt out because of it. They don't want to accept that as proof, which it very well is proof, and it is very well biblical, but they don't have eyes to see. For I, the Lord, will speak, and whatever word I speak will be performed. It will no longer be delayed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for... Okay, here it is. Is the vision that he sees is for many years from now. And prophesied of times far up. So they are able to get that. Well, we're not the ones going to pay. We're not the ones that are going to pay. But God says, no, in your day, it's coming down. In your day. So, like, the gate's closed. I don't know how else to put it. The gate's closed. You know, oh, this is going to be some other time. Hey, do now, pay later. Do now, make the generations to come pay. Our country has been very good at that philosophy. Do now, make the generations to come pay. And then now the generations are here, and everybody thinks they're worthless and lazy, and nobody wants to spend any time with them. Teach them how to be savages. I'll tell you, you're going to teach your sons to be savages. You need to be careful because they might take it a little bit too far. Just saying, be careful. And what I mean by that is, you know, they might become obsessed with being successful in life. And there's others, and don't get me wrong, I like to be successful. I'm trying to be successful, you know. But I'm just saying, be careful with the training of your children. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak, it will be performed, declares the Lord. So he's like, nope, it's coming down in your days. So this is in Ezekiel's time, and there's going to be punishment dealt out. We're going to get to the root of it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. So here's the problem. It's from their own inspiration. It's from their mind. What are they doing? They're not paying attention to what the word said. They're not basing it on the word. That's what we talked about earlier. The Judeo-Christianity is not based on the word. Yeah, they like to hum around in the New Testament and draw all their conclusions from there, but you can't just show up in the middle of the movie and you don't have the foundation of the movie figured out, know what the heck they're talking about. And that's exactly what's going on in these places. People are comfortable, there will be hell to pay. So it's from man's inspiration that these prophets prophesy. It pays good, you know, a lot of these guys out there make millions. They abuse the 501c3 laws. They abuse the word of God by only using a third of it. They abuse it. And they set people out on the wrong course. And I was beginning to wonder, I wasn't having enough material. But as you know, you guys know, I can get going. I can run my mouth a lot. Thus says the Lord, woe to you foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among the ruin. There you go. I just love how he put that. Woe to you foolish prophets who are following in their own spirit and have seen nothing. They think they got it all figured out. They think that they know, you know, the result of their actions. They think that they know, they just simply don't want to believe that the word of God is true. Or they don't care. Maybe they know it, and like, it's going to be years down the road. It's going to be generations down the road. I ain't going to be the one to pay. Maybe that's it. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, be a preacher in a Judeo-Christian church, whether it be Baptist, Catholic, holy roller, tongue talker, shaker, gyrator, whatever you want. If you study the Bible and you read Genesis 17 and you read 15 and you understand that and you get it defined in your mind, which, I mean, I'm a high school dropout. I managed to get it figured out. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. All of you guys know that. But you preach contrary to the word based on whatever they taught you at seminary school, based on what people like to hear because of the paycheck that you get. Do you realize how shallow of a person that is at standing of people, men, women, that are standing behind the pulpit in this land today? They are dogs that don't bark. They are teachers that people have gathered so that way they can listen. You realize how shallow those guys actually are? I mean, let's just say they're actually an Israelite. I don't actually think most of them are, but because they're in a place of power. You probably remember I'd be asking, well, why would I say that? Because Deuteronomy 28 says, like, the alien among you will go higher and higher. These guys are put in a place of power, and they're teachers, and they're teaching you correctly or incorrectly. And in Hosea, it says they feed off of God's people's sin. So they benefit from false teaching monetarily and with items that they get. They got nice houses and jets and all this other stuff, but there's no long game. They play no long game. They don't care about your future, my future, after their own spirit. They don't care. They got a cushy job. They got to show up once a week, maybe twice a week. They do evening services, or if you're one of those big successful ones, you have two or three services in the morning, one at night, and then Wednesday. I mean, in reality, I mean, it's not that hard to be a preacher. I mean, I don't understand why you got to have a doctorate, to be honest with you, or a bachelor. I don't even know. But those guys are so shallow, and they're so puffed up. And, like, do they not realize that people base what they say on how they are going to navigate their life? I mean, just think about it. And they create all these other shallow-minded people that think that they know. What a horrible position to be in. As the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. And if he's sowing lies, he's going to do some reaping. Sure enough. Verse 5. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor have you built a wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. So what he's saying, he's like, you have not prepared these people. They're not ready mentally. They're not ready. They don't have a legitimate leg to stand on their argument, on anything. You've prepared them. God's saying, you prepared them for nothing. You prepared them to be wasted is what you prepared them to do, defenseless. That's what you've done. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions, uttering lying divination, and they have no place in the council of my people. Nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know I am the Lord your God. So God's saying he ain't got no place for him. Now, I want to stop there. And uttering lying divination. You know, when you read in Matthew, I'm not going to turn to it, where God talks about these false miracles we performed, and the people said, didn't we cast out demons and heal a sick in your name? This is exactly what the Lord, your God, Jesus Christ, is talking about. They're false divination. Just because you got a positive effect don't mean you're right. Just because you got a positive effect has nothing to do with the foundation that you've let these clowns build due to lack of knowledge, due to falsehood, due to things that are motivated by the feelings of their own spirit. I do think, I was at a governor rally for Michigan. One of the candidates was running. I ran into him at a gun show, talked to him a little bit. He would go to people's houses. People would visit, bring him in, and he'd sit there and talk to groups of people, like 25. So he called me up one day, and he's like, yeah, I got one of them. The candidate called me up one day, and said, I got one of them rallies at a house there by you, and you should come over. I was like, right on, I'll go over there and see what's up. And I get there, and it's one of my old preachers is there from the church that I used to go to that's on TCT now. I'm not going to say the name of it, but if you guys are familiar with TCT, you've seen my old pastor that I used to go, me and his son, him and I used to go out and schwack deer together. We drowned a deer one time during bow season. So, like, the only reason why I bring it up is because I used to, I mean, my family was in. It was in eyeball deep into that false divination, false shallow thinking. And I seen my preacher, one of my old preachers. He was a, I forget. They got some. They're so successful. They got a preacher for the youth, and they got a preacher for the teen girls, and they got a preacher for the teen boys, and they got a preacher for the, you know, the guy, the college kids, and they got a preacher for the people that are in their 20s looking for mates, and they got their, I mean, you name it. What a joke. Then I get to talking to him. Hey, how you been? You know, this, that. I didn't tell him. I was preaching. I think I was preaching at the time. I think I was, I've been preaching here with you guys for, probably a year, maybe two. It was about a year ago. And, I was like sitting there talking to him. I'm like, so how are things going? You know, geez, you know, great to see you. I mean, not really. And he's telling me about how church numbers are down and this and that. I was like, oh, that's too bad, you know. But inside, I was like, that's awesome. I mean, hope you go broke. You know, I wasn't going to say that in somebody's house. I didn't know, but that's what I was thinking. So that, the reason why I bring it up, I don't think people are actually believing them as much as they used to, because especially in the last...
Struck him down and watch him fall. Lord, he died like a man. One who fought and gave his all. Wish could have been there by his side. That dark night that he died. All I'm asking, make it right. Help me make it through this fight. I don't care what they say, as I know you understand. You gave us your own son. They pierced his side, they nailed his hand. They're not dead and they're not gone. Their memory's still inside. And I know we're not alone. Me make it through the fight. They're not dead and they're not gone. They're well and alive. And I know I'm not alone. Help me make it through this fight. I know we're not alone. Give us victory, make it right. Deceptions revealed. Oh, and my heart fills with gladness when I hear the sound of your pulpits being cleansed and made into holy ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. justice, his laws will prevail, and the snakes and the tares will be sentenced to hell. New judges will be appointed, Jesus will be king, our days will be joyous as his praises we sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, it gives me a thrill to know the sun will rise up and his land will be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, there'll be peace and goodwill. God's justice will prevail o'er his land and his hills. Your blood, God, were to fulfill. Sin and death you defeated, paid the price for our sin, so we could repent, be baptized and cleansed.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
False preachers are putting in between people's ears, and they're saying that it's truth. You know what Pastor Peters used to say? You know, they tie knots in people's heads. They give you a little bit of truth, and they give you a falsehood, and they tie a knot, and then you're just a knucklehead. You know, you don't know right from wrong, and you know some right and some wrong, and, I mean, you're just a fruitcake. So, the Lord says that his hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. I remember this one guy. I got to tell you this. This one guy, he talked about the visions, you know. He's on ET, too. And he talked about the visions that he had. He said that he was like Moses, and God would only see the backside. And people were just eating this garbage up. They're just eating it up. That's his false vision. I mean, he doesn't even know who Israel is. He doesn't even preach Israel's a multitude of nations. He doesn't even preach Israel. They will be known as sons of God, Christians, who started the Christian faith, the white Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and people. They don't teach baptism. And here's this guy seeing visions of God as backside, just like Moses. I mean, what a joke. What a joke. Laying hands on people, getting them healed and this and that. All falsehood. Positive effects. But they're going to have a negative outcome. Verse 10. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. Yeah, I like that. And when anyone builds a wall, they plaster it over with whitewash. So anybody that's getting common sense, they build a wall, they work against it. Nothing worse than having somebody always work against. Parents know this. When the kids become teenagers, they have that work against. The teenagers know so much. You got this force working against you. You have the school system working against you. And they say peace and there's no peace. You're going to get raptured. You're going to get raptured. Don't worry, peace. You'll be tipped off. So tell those who plaster over it with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come and you, oh, hailstones will fall and violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, you will not be asked, where is the plaster which you plastered it? Nobody is going to ask them anything. obviously they were the wrong leaders for the job. This is why it's very important. Like if you're out there talking to people, you the history correctly. The Bible doesn't need any help standing on what it said. They can take it or leave it. You start saying stuff like that when these walls fall and the whitewash, they're not going to ask where the whitewash is. They might be asking you. So as the Proverbs say, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath, and there will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I will tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare, and when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst. He's talking about the preachers. Their teaching didn't hold up to the fire. Their teaching, it's like what I said, their teaching brought the wrath. That's what I said. The reason why things are the way they are is because of these preachers incorrectly projecting the word of God. It says it right there. It's what they planted in the people's minds to be true. Study to show yourself approved. Don't take my word for it. Thus I will spend my wrath on those who have plastered it. So it's those who are the ones that plastered it. It's the preachers. It's the teachers. It's the false prophets. That's where the wrath is going. I will say to you, the wall is gone and its plasterers are gone. The wall and the teachers. So what does the wall represent? The wall, anyone who builds it up, they whitewash over it. The wall represents, there's truth. There's some truth in there, but it gets whitewashed over. You can't clearly see it. So the whole thing's got to be ripped up and reestablished with just the word. That's what he's saying here. And the ones that were doing the whitewashing, they'll be gone too. Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord, woe to the women who sew magic bands on all their wrists and make veils for their heads of persons of every stature, and hunt down lives. You will hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of yourselves? He's asking a question. So, the sacrifice is God's people. But you're going to preserve others. That's the complaint. For handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you have profaned to my people, and put to death some who should not die, and keep others alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies. So what is he saying here? The ones that speak truth, they're the ones that get the shaft. And the ones who speak lies, those are the ones that get blasted. Those are the ones that get to live. Those are the ones that, you know, oh, thus says the Lord, and everyone's rah, rah, rah. Excuse me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I am against you and your magic bands. You hunt the lives there as birds, and I will tear them from your arms, and you will let them go, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer hands or be hunted. You will know that I'm the Lord. So these people are hunters. This feminine energy is hunters. It's interesting. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood and did not but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. You're disheartened. That's a good sign. You're disheartened at what you see. That's a good sign. If you're disheartened at what you see behind these dirty bird pulpits, good sign for you. What does the Bible say? Those that have a lot of knowledge. How does that go? I forget. People with a lot of knowledge are miserable, basically, is what it says. Therefore, you women will need false visions or practice divination, and I will deliver my people out of your hand. Thus, you will know that I am the Lord. I'm going to stop right there with my read. So the question is, how does the Lord deliver his people? How does he do that? It goes back to defining who Jesus Christ is. It goes back to defining who the great is. The great I am is the word in your hand. The word that became flesh is Jesus Christ. The word. How does he deliver? People reading and studying the word, as it says in Public Law 97-280, applying the principles that the Bible teaches, and you will be set free. It's not the thought process that the law is done away with. Not the thought process that the sandbox over in the Middle East is Israel. When God said he would, Abraham would become a multitude of nations. It's not the thought process of the maledictory oath, the death oath. Kick them off their land because of all the sin and cursing it. So that way you could have a Sabbath. And that land was released by Jesus Christ's death. The word that became flesh. That's how you start studying. Or that's how you start getting yourself out of the mess. And you can start with you. You can only control you. Remember that. You can't control anybody else. You can only control you. You do. You study. You walk. I can't make you. The Wranglers can't make you. If you want to turn it around, study. Apply the word. That is how God does it. I mean, we are the body, the physical body of Christ. Jesus is the head. The word that became flesh. We got the head in our hand. The Bible. That is how God will teach. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you who are his, may he bless you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Zach. And our apologies, technical difficulties with the live church. That's how it is sometimes. You just go with it. But thank you, Brother Zach. We'll partake of communion out here and pray over it. We hope you have as well. One quick announcement. It's the middle of September. Summer is ending. Tuesday is the 91st day. We move from summer to fall. And so if you can observe that, it's the 17th of this month. God always made a way. He made a way for us to be saved. He makes a way for us to have life and life abundant today. And by partaking of communion and remembering and doing so properly, that is one of the ways we do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you, for the joy set before you, went to the cross to save us, to redeem us, to bring us out of that pit of darkness and into your wonderful light. As we partake, O Lord, of these emblems that represent your body and your blood that you gave for us, help us in a proper manner, Lord, judging ourselves, seeing where we fall short, repenting of our sins, and turning and looking to you, smiling at the future, and rejoicing in you. Thank you for allowing us to do this. We claim all the promises, all the benefits, all the health and healing with this, with abiding in you and you abiding in us. We do this in obedience to your word, thankfully, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And we partake. Amen.